Hi, welcome to Life and Faith from the Center for Public Christianity. I'm Justine Toe. Well, the Peter Allen song is I Still Call Australia Home, and it's about the longing for home that Australians abroad feel for their home country. Well, the Immigration Department has a slogan on its website that plays on that song. The slogan reads, "No way, they will not make Australia home." Of course, the they in question are the asylum seekers who are trying to reach our shores and establish a new life for themselves. Now, both of these instances, the Immigration Department slogan and the Peter Allen song, express the profound longing for home, and that's what we're going to talk about today. We'll also include, a rumination on the spiritual dimensions of home. We've got an interview today with Jared McKenna. Jared is the National Advisor for Youth, Faith and Activism for World Vision Australia. He's also the co-founder of First Home Project, which basically welcomes refugees and new arrivals to the country to live with him and his wife for a year so they can get established. Simon Smart will also be talking about home and the appeal that it holds for us, but that's later in the program.
Like many Aussies our age, we want to buy our first home.
Maybe a bit different to other people's first homes, our first home will be their first home too.
Jared and Teresa are trying to do something that I dearly would love to do, and that is to not only wish that they could provide shelter for people at risk, but they actually intend to do it. But the intention is a bit on the rocks because they need people to back them up.
It's important that we welcome the new Aussies and give them a fair go.
Extraordinary young couple who's a real commitment is to make love practical. They've done that in ways of caring for Indigenous, being involved with asylum seekers and refugees. And I am a great admirer of what they do. Now, they're at a crossroads.
So our little family are feeling moved to come alongside the newest Australians so they can have a fair go too.
So we put in an offer for our first home, not just for us, but for new Aussie families too. It was accepted by the owner, yet lenders are finding it hard to understand what we're about and aren't prepared to give us a loan.
And that's why we're making this video, to appeal to people to actually invest in this magnificent act of self-sacrifice.
Jared, thank you for joining us on Life and Faith.
Oh, thanks for having me, Justine.
Now, the Immigration Department has a slogan that's aimed at deterring asylum seekers on their website. No way, they will not make Australia home. And yet, this is exactly what you've sought to do, to help refugees and new arrivals to the country make their home in Australia. So let's talk about First Home Project. Where did you first get the idea from?
The idea for First Home Project actually started much earlier, maybe around 2004, when the first time we started visiting people who were in detention. And that was just out of concern and wanting to show friendship. And when our first friend, Ahmed, was given a bridging visa, he came to stay with us. And that was the start of many people who came to live with us and the start of new friendships. But we soon realised, Justine, that while we might be able to provide a strong friendship network, it was quite hard, particularly for families, to be able to enter the rental market in Western Australia, where there's only 2% opening. So it's, you know, tricky for most people, let alone if you've got post-traumatic stress disorder and English is your fifth language.
Was it the case, do you think, that, you know, you were just disillusioned with the political deadlock around this issue and just wanted to kind of extend hospitality to other people and make your own contribution in that way?
For us, the impetus, I guess, was our own Christian faith and I guess realising that Christian hospitality calls us to welcome the foreigner. The term xenophobia is often thrown around. I think I was in year 9 at school when I first heard it used in an interview with Pauline Hanson, which calls the please explain response. And what I find interesting in terms of the New Testament, there's a word philoxenia, which has got part of the same Greek word, xeno, meaning stranger or foreigner. And philo, of course, is the word where we get the city Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And this is a word that is used repeatedly in the New Testament in different forms for talking about welcoming the outsider, the stranger, the alien, or as we would say today, the asylum seeker or the refugee. And so for us, we had a real sense that philoxenia, the love of the stranger, was a Christian alternative to, I guess, the xenophobia, which happens where there's this irrational fear of these people seeking safety.
So your Christian faith is fundamental to the way that you approach this?
Definitely. I think the imaginative space that a prayer and the centrality of the Christian tradition for us, I'm not sure these responses could have come from anywhere else.
Now, when it comes to, you know, Teresa's idea to buy a house, you know, I read that you guys crowdsourced the $600,000 mortgage. Is that right?
That's right. Which wasn't our initial intention either. So initially, I have a national role with World Vision Australia, and Teresa has a great job as a social worker with people that are vision impaired, working with children. And we would have qualified for a loan with most banks if it was a normal house in a normal kind of situation. And that's what we thought we would get. We were quite surprised when 14 different banking institutions actually said, no, the property is odd. Even though it's zoned residential, it looks like it's a commercial setup given the size of the property. And so we thought it was game over. And so we went ahead with crowdsourcing the mortgage. And in 14 days, the Australian public, and we should mention not just the Australian public, but people internationally as well, came forward and said, if banks aren't willing to be the bank, we are willing. And we know your track record working with people who are marginalised, and we'd like to back you. So,
and you first moved in Christmas, at Christmas time in 2012 with two families, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
What was the first year like?
The first year was great. I think the best kept secret of First Home Project is how much fun we're actually having. These people are remarkable, and we talk about what's needed is not a handout, but a hand up. If you can survive, like one of our families, 17 years in a refugee camp, or if you can flee a war-torn country and survive a horrific journey on a boat because there's no other way provided and arrive, my response is you should be welcomed with a standing ovation. These people have get up. These people have that kind of can-do attitude, and all they're needing is a fair go. And so what First Home Project provides is a fair go. So take the first family that moved in on New Year's Eve. So there was room at the inn, we like to joke. Mm-hmm. And the first family, the father was living on a couch at one friend's place, the mother staying with other friends, and their children staying with their grandmother. And this is simply because they couldn't crack the rental market in Western Australia. After a year of living at First Home Project, not only do they both have stable work, a strong friendship network, the kids are doing well in school, they were able to take the rental history that they had with us and the recommendation, and now they have their own rental property and have actually qualified for the Keystart program here in WA, which means that they can build their own home.
I think owning your own home is an Australian dream, but when it comes to sharing it with another family, especially one that's very different to you, it becomes even more radical. Do you think this goes to the heart of why there is such a deadlock in this country over refugee policy? Because, you know, it's so difficult to think of living under the same roof / nation, you know, with other people?
For me, Justin, I think the deadlock has actually got to do with not seeing the big picture. As you mentioned earlier, the No Way campaign that talks about you will not have a home here. The blatant stuff that kind of message misses is that people fleeing war-torn countries get on boats for the same reason that people jump from burning buildings. It's that there is no other way. And the tragedy of the No Way campaign, what it actually sends the message to these people is desperate people don't jump from burning buildings, but it doesn't actually provide safety from the flames either. But for us, this is like neither humane, nor speaks of what Australia can be. I think it's actually horrific. I think what's actually needed is Australia to become a regional leader in a regional response that provides safe ladders out of these burning buildings. And I think when people have that larger picture of the issue, then we can have different conversations. Conversations like Uncle Kevin Buzzcott down in South Australia said to me one time, when you white fellas, Uncle Kevin Buzzcott, of course, being an Indigenous leader, he said, when are you white fellas going to realise if you don't let them in, we're going to send all you back as well? It's those kind of humorous responses that I think get to the heart of some of this question about, actually, let's ask each other our last names, let's remember our own stories, and whether it's Ireland or England or Czechoslovakia or Somalia or Afghanistan, all of us have come from somewhere, and the question is, how do we respond in ways that are worthy of these amazing, vulnerable people who just need a fair go?
Now, you've said yourself that all of us come from somewhere, and I guess all of us are looking for a home as well. Do you have thoughts on the spiritual dimensions to home, you know, or our longing for home?
Of course. I guess Augustine's quote comes up for me around our restlessness until we find our home in God. And I wonder if our own insecurities around a sense of place here in Australia is what creates the kind of fearfulness that we're not willing to actually open up to other people. I was last year in a Syrian refugee camp and just so struck by the fact that here was I on the border of Syria and Lebanon having about the population of Sydney, and they had taken in 1 million people fleeing this war. And for them it was because they realised the context of what was going on, and simple questions of what would I want somebody to do unto me if I was in the same situation? Australia, we are often perceived as an isolated island of prosperity, but we sit in a region of real suffering and often misery. And I think if we can actually become a regional leader in responding in ways where, strangely, we will find our sense of home as we open our home up to others.
That was Jared McKenna, co-founder of First Home Project. You can catch more of Jared at the Rethinking a Public Faith Conference. Go to rethinking.net.au. Now, Simon, you've done a lot of thinking about home and its appeal, but what does it personally conjure up for you?
Home for me sort of represents a place where you're completely yourself, where you kind of can shed the masks, if you like, of having to be a particular person. You can just be yourself. You kind of have that physical enactment of that. You come in, kick your shoes off, you're in your singlet top or whatever it might be, and just completely relax. But it's also, I guess, that place where you feel accepted. They have to have you in, you know, they have to let you into home. and I guess where you feel love for who you are, at peace, you're not afraid, you're not anxious. I think Frederick Buechner called it a vision of wholeness that stays with you, even when home's anything but what I've been talking about. Somehow or other, we have this vision for what home ought to be like, and that kind of can sometimes hold us together as we sort of long for that, strive for it, hope for it.
When you're talking about longing and hope, I mean, we're moving into the transcendent, I guess, or a spiritual dimension. Are there those kinds of connotations to home as well?
I'm often reminded of those sort of Negro spiritual songs. Very often are kind of calling you towards, you know, this is not our home, or we're going to be taken somewhere better than this place. It's holding out a vision of something better. You know, soon we're going to be seeing the king. One day soon we're going to be taken from this reality into a better one. It has sustained people in those sort of awful sort of circumstances. Even Nick Cave, his song says, everyone's got a room in God's hotel. You know, no one will be denied. And this is another part of home. It's no one gets denied from true home. It resonates with the Christian concept of where Jesus talks about, you know, in my Father's house are many rooms. You know, that's the promise, and they're waiting for you. That drives a lot of people to sort of think about what true home really is. And I guess it connects with that idea of our true home being with the Creator, the ultimate Father.